Let's begin. Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings. Yes. I'm beginning to think the Holy Spirit likes the books of Kings more than the other ones. Or I'm just really slow of hearing, and it just takes years to hear what he's saying out of. Ben, if you were really walking with me, we'd be through these books long ago. Yeah, right. 1 Kings chapter 10. Did I tell you 10? 1 Kings chapter 10. This is the story of the Queen of Sheba. It's a story I've always liked. It's a story that Jesus references in the New Testament. I believe he calls her the Queen of the South, at least in the King James translation. And Randy mentioned it. You know, when Jesus mentions Old Testament stories, was he mentioning it as the Son of Man who had read the Bible and read about it, or the Son of God who was, or God rather, who was there for it and saw something about it that said, you know, and clearly all the stories that made the Bible, there is something to, you know. But this is one that Jesus himself pointed out. And having said all that, we're not going to look at what Jesus said about it at all. So, you can check that out on your own. Okay, so let's just start reading. We're going to get right into it. I don't think we'll read the whole thing straight through. I don't think we will. This is one of those that kind of goes verse by verse. It says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." First of all, it says, when she heard, she came. You know, and that was the first thing right off the bat that I just, as I started looking at this passage and just meditating on it before the Lord, that she heard, but she heard and she came. And I just considered what that meant for her. You know, even just historically speaking, of what it would mean for her to come. You know what I mean? But that she heard and she didn't just hear it and say, "Wow, Solomon must be pretty great or incredible or whatever," and walk away. But she really thought about it. She really considered what she heard, you know. And it impacted her, and she considered it seriously to the point where she said, you know, "I have to go. I have to go see this for myself." And not just that, it says she came to test him with hard questions. And this deal of hard questions, you know, every other time I've read this, I just thought, did she come with a bunch of riddles for him? You know, did she come with a bunch of, if a sparrow is flying at the speed of sound and then hits a train going 50 miles an hour, when's it going to arrive in Chicago, kind of thing, you know? Well, that's... See, Shay's paying attention, because that changes everything. In fact, let's now turn to the Epistle of James. but these hard questions. Well, hard questions. Hard questions for a guy who has wisdom concerning the name of the Lord. You know, she heard of his fame concerning the name of the Lord. You know, and she wanted to know this wisdom. She wanted to hear it. She wanted to to experience it for herself, but she had these hard questions. And I just saw her as somebody in her homeland. It's Sheba, but it's Sabians, or I can't remember. I looked it up. She's someone with hard questions, personally. You know what I mean? Not math questions, not crazy, you know, riddles or even maybe hard circumstances that she's encountered, but just someone with things in her that aren't settled. You know what I mean? Hard things in her where she's like, no one, I haven't found anything to satisfy this question within me here. There's been nothing here. And certainly she was a queen. She had all the resources of her kingdom there, you know, that she had probably exhausted, and there was yet nothing, you know. And for us, in relation to the Lord, these hard questions can be things of, you know, why can't I get over this issue? You know what I mean? I shouldn't be so hung up on this thing. Why can't I break free of it, you know? I feel like I should be further down the Lord, in the Lord. I was, you know, we're 14 months into the year of breakthrough, and I feel like I haven't had a breakthrough yet. You know, maybe there's a math riddle for you. But legitimate, real hard questions that she hasn't found an answer to, that all her knowledge concerning the name of the Lord hasn't satisfied, you know. And she really, again, in considering her hearing and thinking about it, there was something in her that said, I don't think it was just a maybe this guy knows. I believe there's something in her that said, this guy, he's got to know. There has to be an answer, you know. And if you've been there in the Lord, well, you know that I know there's an answer. You know what I mean? I know there's an answer to this, and all my answers aren't working for whatever reason. You know, I'm still stuck in it. And there's got to be something in the Lord that maybe I'm missing. There's got to be some answer in the Lord, and there's got to be something more. He's got to have more. I, you know, it's like I believe in Jesus, and I believe in complete freedom from sin, from the old man, and for unity of the body, and for all these things. And yet, I've got all these hard questions in me that I can't get past them. You know, and when we have that stuff going on in us, and let me just say right now, I think everyone either has them or has had them or will and can relate to that. You know, this isn't like a, now, for those who are off, you know what I mean? For those who are having issues and shouldn't, no, we're people growing in the Lord, for finding the Lord, you know? And it's these kind of things that I have found really help push me to the Lord, you know? You get after the Lord in a way that's directly affected to you, you know, your life and your walk in the Lord. And your life and your walk in the Lord isn't. I don't mean that in a selfish way, because your knowing of the Lord, it affects everything. You know, I've referenced it several times, but Jimmy always said, the best thing I can do for everyone else in my life is know Jesus. The best thing I can do is know Jesus for everyone else, you know, and it's with that in mind, too. You know, that's the truth. And so she's got these hard questions, and, you know, apparently it came to the point where she's like, I'm willing to leave my house, I'm willing to leave my responsibilities, I'm willing to leave my comfort zone, you know, I'm willing to leave whatever, all this stuff, and make the journey. And considering travel back then, even, you know, even for a queen, even if you're a queen and being carried, you're still being carried across the desert on a camel. I mean, consider like flying now. Are you riding a camel? I just flew there in a half an hour. You know, just even for a queen to travel, the travel, the hardship, the all that went into it. The point is, she was serious. She was serious. Verse 2, it says, she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, and I won't say much about all that stuff right now, except she just came with all of her stuff from her place. And it says, and when she was come to Solomon, she talked with him. A better translation of that word is communed with him. She communed with him of all that was in her heart. Of all that was in her heart. And there's a big difference between musing over your issues while throwing up a prayer about them and really communing with the Lord over all that's in your heart, desiring desperately to find an answer that's going to change something. You know what I mean? It's like, well, I've been holding it before the Lord and praying about it for years, and I just can't, you know, this area, is just I'm just hung up on it, and I just can't get over it. And if God were to show up, you know, and I'm not pointing my finger at anyone, I know I've done this, you know what I mean? If God were to show up, he'd say, actually, you've been about 90% murmuring, complaining. There's been 10% prayer, that's 5% of that is self-interest. And then, you know, the other 5%, it's, you know, it's, you got a long way to go before, you know what I mean? I mean, you don't even have ears to hear me in the state you're at, in the condition of your soul, in the way that you're seeking me. You're not even listening, you're not even in the spirit. You're in the soul, you're in the issue, you're in the problem, you're just complaining. You are of the generation that dies in the wilderness right now. You don't enter in like this, you know. Huge difference between just, how can I get these issues, and God, I just can't get over it, and Lord, help me, and Lord, free me, and, you know, we pull out some doctrines. What do I got here? And, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, so maybe that'll work. You know? And, you know, you just kind of put this stuff on it. And wonder why nothing ever happens, you know. But there should be no wonder. There should be no wonder, you know. And I'm not saying that we should be sad, you know, be in a place where I'm okay with everything. And, you know, no, she wasn't okay. She had hard questions. I want a real answer. Nothing has worked. I'm not going to go and do this kind of petty. Well, you should have done something by now. You got the resources, Solomon. You're the richest guy in the world. I mean, come on. Can you just throw some, you know, wisdom my way or something? You know, it was, she just poured everything that was in her heart, man. She poured out. There was a communion. There was a real getting to the Lord that says, you know, a lot of times it's like, and here's one of the things also, besides just the musing, a lot of times I think maybe we give the Lord options. Like, Lord, I'm willing to hear this, this, and this. You know, you can answer in these three ways. You can choose door number 1, 2, or 3, but anything outside of that, I'm not really open to, because I don't like what it might mean for me. You know what I mean? It's like there's not a genuine, like, abandon, like, whatever it means, whatever it costs, I want you, Jesus. You know what I mean? There's like I want you to make it better for me, at no cost to me, as long as this works out good for me. And I can see this working out good in these, you know, three ways. So I'm just seeking you over these things. You know, I don't know if that makes sense. But it's maybe there's something, maybe we haven't, I just got to say it somehow. But again, I don't have anyone in mind. I'm not accusing this body of anything. I just saw something in the Word by the Spirit, and I'm sharing it, you know. But, you know, maybe we limit what we're even willing to hear. And then it's like, well, how come he's not answering? And I've been seeking the Lord for so long, and how come? He's like, well, my answer is just, it's not even in that realm. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to actually be willing to listen to what I have to say, you know. No matter what it means to you, it's, Lord, what I'm pouring my heart out to you, what is your answer? You're free to show me, to answer, whatever it is. And then in verse 3 it says, and Solomon answered all her questions. There was not anything hidden from the king, which he told her not. Again, I mean, have you ever read that verse and just thought like, well, that's like, well, the Lord's never done that for me. You know what I mean? Well, the Lord's never just answered everything, you know. Well, the Lord does have an answer for everything. God does have an answer for everything. God's answer ultimately is Christ and the cross. Christ crucified, Jesus, his answer to all things, ultimately for us, comes back to Christ, whether it be conformity to Christ, dying for that others might have life, ministering Christ, knowing Christ in a certain way. It all comes back to Jesus somehow. But you see, if our ears are tuned to self-interest, then we really can't hear that answer. You know what I mean? Because God doesn't have, the only answer God has to that is the cross. And that's not something that he forces on you. We have to be willing to receive that. You know? And so he answers everything. And I believe if we come with that heart like she did that says, I want you, Lord. You know what I mean? Whatever it's going to cost. You know what I mean? And it's not, and I say whatever it's going to cost, but, and we'll get to something later that deals with this, but, you know, does it always just cost us everything? You know what I mean? This fear thing of what it's going to cost that we get hung up on. Have any of us resisted sin unto bloodshed? You know what I mean? I mean, have we, you know what I mean? We have, like, there could be maybe this fear of cost or this fear of seeking to save. But, you know, maybe we need to consider that maybe what the Lord has is better than what we're even trying to save and hold on to, you know? I mean, but again, to really experience that, we're going to have to let it go before the Lord, you know? and so, you know, the ear that's towards the Lord, but it's really tuned to self-interest, it's not going to get all things answered. It's not going to hear. It says Solomon answered all her questions, and there's nothing hidden from the king which he told her not. So in all that she brought to him of her hard questions, of her issues and stuff, he had an answer for every single one of them. You know what I mean? I mean, praise God. He has an answer, and I just take that for whether we've heard it or not, or we know it or not, you know, whether we still are just full of hard questions for the Lord, there is an answer. He has an answer, and I know saying Jesus is the answer is a real general thing, but you know how it is in the Lord. When he hones in on something and he presents Christ as the answer, it's real specific. I mean, it applies to life in a very practical way. It is living. I mean, it's not just this, well, Jesus is the answer, and you just kind of float out there believing that, and just, you know what I mean, with no real resolve. It does answer it, and it doesn't just answer it. It the issue, the hard thing, gets resolve, amen. Finds resolve, gets solved. So, one last time, the answer to all things that he has, Christ and him crucified, specifically to certain things. Now, in this next list of things that we're going to look at, I just want to point out here that I believe there's a progression in this, in these scriptures, a progression in relation to really coming into the Lord. Really coming in to know the Lord, really coming into a breakthrough, really coming into hard questions, really being answered, really getting resolved, really really finding Jesus in a living way as the answer to him. It says, and when the queen of let's see where we're at here. Verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the food of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and in his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there is no more spirit in her. So again, first she starts out in her own land with hard questions. She hears. She decides to go see it, to hear him. She pours out her heart to him. She gets his answer. And it's only after that, in light of how we just discussed that, that she really begins to start seeing the things of his kingdom. Because before that, she's just hung up on these hard questions. You know, and I want to tell you, I don't want to live my life just being hung up on hard questions. Never really able to break free from things. Never really able to get over this stuff. And honestly, listen, if you got them in you, if I got them in me, they have to get resolved. I mean, they really, because they're there. And they are holding us back. You know, from really, really coming into the things of the kingdom. You know, I call them, I like the word hang-ups. We get hung up. The progression and the move in the Lord like it can be, it gets pulled back and stopped and hindered. And these things, it's like they're not worth it. But that doesn't mean that we can untangle ourselves from them. You know, have you ever known, like, this is just petty, and it's not worth it, and I'm letting it eat my lunch, and I wish I could just get over it, but I can't. You know what I mean? It's like, I know the Lord is so much better. I mean, I know the life of Christ is greater than this. I know all this, and yet I can't. Did you ever, you know, that verse, casting down every thought and exalt itself against the knowledge of God. I remember when I first read that verse, I don't know if it was the first time I read the verse, but it was in, you know, Bible school and everything, and then, you know, and it should be taken literally, and I don't want to take anything away from this verse because it's a Bible and it says it, but I was just like, I'm just going to cast down every thought. And, like, you know, I'm sure there's much more to this verse than this. This is just Ben's little experience, so that's how you need to take it. It was like the law to me. Like, it just revealed how stuck I was on things. You know what I mean? It's like you cast down a thought and you try to move on, and like 10 seconds later, they're like coming back. I'm just going to cast that down. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you're just casting down thoughts, and it's just like, by the end of the day, you're like, this is just so, I'm so much worse than I ever thought I was before I started. I think I was more with the Lord before I started casting down thoughts. I'm just going to let them roll. just plead the blood on them. You know what I mean? And receive grace and just, you know, go that route. Because this casting down thing, I just can't do it. You know? How did I get onto that? Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, it's like you can know something's petty. You should know it needs to be kept, and that you just can't. Why is that? Well, because this thing of Christianity only works in a living relationship with Jesus. That's it. You can cast down thoughts. You know what I mean? You can try to muster faith. You can have all your principles and live by principles, all the right principles, and you should, you know, you should have faith. And yes, but everything is contingent on, held together by, all things consist by Christ, Jesus, in a living way, in a living communion relationship in the heart. And without that, it just doesn't work. It just does not work, you know. And without that very real element actively every day in our lives, we just end up scratching our heads. I know how this works. I know how it's supposed to work. I know Jesus is better than this, and yet I can't get over this. And yes, you know, it's, well, it only works by Jesus. You know, it's only gonna, you're only gonna get free through Christ in a living way. You know what I mean? As you know him in a living way. There's, and I believe that's, is what was happening between Sheba and Solomon in this exchange, in this meeting. It was life. There's an exchange of life in this communion, in this fellowship. You know, what he had went into her. You know what I mean? His answer, his wisdom, with the wisdom of God is Christ in him crucified. It says that in one of the Corinthians books. In the New Testament, I don't know because I don't ever read it. And as she comes into this living thing and she hears her answer, she begins to now really come into the things of his kingdom. She comes up out of this communion and she comes, you know, her first steps out are beholding the things of the kingdom. And now I want to point out in these, in this list here, I saw this list of things as possibly these were things that she came and had the hard questions over, but now she's seeing them in light of the answer. Now she's seeing them in light of the kingdom of God. Now she's seeing them in light of Christ. And what do I mean by that? In verse 4 it says, And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, not when she heard it secondhand from someone else, when she had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. It starts there. Instead of just seeing a bunch of people gathered together, we see the house that God has built. And the food of his table. Maybe it's certain circumstances that we get hung up on and can't get over. And now she sees these things as food. You know, Joshua and Caleb said, the giants are bread for us. You know, and she's beginning to see these things in a whole nother light. Because it's not like, you know, it's not like God's answer just makes everything better outwardly. You know what I mean? Like, I found the Lord's answer, and now, you know, everything's great at work. My boss is happy now, and I, you know, whatever it is, I got a raise, and, you know, it, no, the junk is all still there. You know what I mean? But instead of it being looked at as something to avoid, something that negatively affects self-interest, something that, you know, is it may, you know, sometimes these things looked like looked at in the light of like, it'd be better for me and the Lord if this wasn't there, if this wasn't in the way. You know what I mean? This is a hindrance. And now, after this communion with him, she sees the food of his table. This, he has set this before me faithfully to feed me that I might grow in him. You know, that I might learn Christ in this, that I might know Jesus in this. It's food, it's bread, it's necessary to growth. You have to go through it for whatever the Lord has next, you know, to the strength for the next thing. The food of his table, the sitting of his servants. Seeing our brothers and sisters as seated in Christ. Meaning that we're not judging them by their walk, we're judging them by their sitting. You know what I mean? Because where do our problems come with brothers and sisters in Christ? In their walk. You know what I mean? It's how, because in our walk, we're not perfect, not a one of us. We've all got stuff that someone else could get hung up on. And everyone else has stuff that we could get hung up on with them. You know what I mean? And that's all in our walk, you know, as we see each other move and walk through this life. But she sees not the walk where she can get hung up on. She sees the sitting of the servants. They're seated in Christ. And now it's not just in a way of doctrine or anything. It's, she's seeing it now in a living way because it says there's no spirit left within her. She's seeing, you know, if you see, if you really are seeing and knowing someone in Christ, and it's, your heart is full of that matter, you don't stumble on their walk in your relationship to them. You're actually, because you have that, you're able to wash them with it. You're able to gather them up into that reality and that truth and share it and relate to them from that way. And I've had that done to me when my walk was off. And I went through a time in Bible school where my walk was off. I was burnt out for some things, and I just didn't care. And like, people were, like, worried about me. And Brandy just totally, like, related to me in Christ in this way. And it just, like, freed me from it. It totally freed me, because I felt, you know, you feel everyone else being like, what's wrong with you? And, you know, and I know everyone knows that, you know, I'm not like I normally am, and I know all this stuff, and it's, you start feeling shame, and then someone really, and I'm not just meaning someone coming up to you and being like, hey, brother, I know you're in the Lord, so cheer up, you know? I mean, really having something of life being released in relation to this, it can free you. It can free people. And the attendance of his ministers in their apparel. What does it say? The word attendance means their position. Their position of his ministers. I'll just read my notes on this one. The word attendance means their position. Instead of judging leaders by how you see things, you see them placed there by God for you. It is God's care for you, not just some man that you hold to an impossible standard. Instead of uncovering their faults and using that as fuel for accusations, you see them clothed in Christ and by Christ for the very purpose of ministering to the body. You know, it's not for us to judge leaders. They're under the judgment of God, which is a much more fearful thing, you know. Whether it be a Saul or it be a David, if it's where the Lord planted you and who the Lord planted you under, then it's God's care for you. You know what I mean? I've been under leadership that, if I had to guess, was maybe more along the line of a Saul. And likewise on the other side of David. But you know what? If it's about learning Christ, and you know, sometimes the lessons in the Christ that we learn under leadership that we feel might be more of a Saul are more valuable than the ones that really give us Jesus. Now, praise God for the ones that really give us Jesus. It's my heart to be a minister that really gives Jesus and not be Saul. You know what I mean? I mean, clearly. But, you know, sometimes I think the ones that really have the Lord, we expect too much from. Or we ride their wave of the Spirit too much. That's possible of happening there. Whereas if you get a spear thrown at you, you know what I mean? I'm either going to kill this man, I'm going to leave, or I'm really going to find Jesus. You know, David was put in that situation, and he really found the Lord. And he honored Saul. Man, did he honor Saul. He honored Saul even after Saul was dead. It's one thing to honor someone when they're alive, but after they're dead, that's when you know if you've been harboring stuff. You know what I mean? Like, well, he's dead now. I guess the judgment of God finally caught up with him. You know, no, there was none of that. It was complete honor. And I believe part of it is David was just like, I could never be the king that I am without that man in my life. You know what I mean? I could never know the Lord in the way I do without that guy chasing me around the wilderness. I wouldn't trade being under that Saul for anything in the world. You know what I mean? But, you know, we're only going to learn those lessons in those situations if we're seeing, in light of Solomon's kingdom, the attendance of his ministers and their apparel. You know what I mean? That God has placed them there, that it's his care, that God knows. Don't see man, see God. God knows what you need. He knows the care that you need. He knows the seasons in your life that you need a David over you or a Saul. And I like in the book of Tale of Three Kings, you know, he brings out the point, and you don't really know if it's a David or a Saul. You know, even that's not really for us to judge. It's just for us, it's, Lord, we're not submitting to a man. We're not, you know, we're submitting to you in this, Lord. We're submitting to you in this, Lord. And likewise, you know, to rebel against such and whatever. And again, I know I'm a associate pastor here and in a leadership role or whatever, I haven't had problems here, and I don't think this is an issue here at this moment with this body. So, but this word's going out and will be for other people to hear. I don't remember what I was going to say. Maybe it's not the Lord to say it. Point is, the food of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance, the position of the ministers, you can see how much, how necessary it would be, and how greatly it affects the outcome as to how we view these things. Because they're all in all of our lives. We all have relationships with the body. We all have food set before us by the Lord in relation to certain circumstances that a lot of times involves other people. You know what I mean? We're under leadership. And the issues that are all up within all of those things, they're either just going to remain hard questions that we stay hung up on forever, or we find the Lord. And when you find the Lord, it says, you know, this, remember, it said Solomon answered all things. And here I believe we're getting a peek into his answer. Here's my answer. It's a completely different view of everything. You see everything in light of Christ. You see everything in light of the new creation. You see everything in light of my fathering of your spirit in every aspect of your life, in every, even the smallest circumstances. I'm there giving you exactly what you need. You know, Jim talked about pointing the finger and stuff. It's not pointing the finger. You need to see me. It's not about other people being off. You need to see me in it. You need to see what I'm doing in you, what I'm doing in the circumstance and situation. You know, and I had a real hard time with that in Bible school also. Just to the point, you know, you could listen to sermons and you hear points being shared, and you're just like, yeah, that's what they need to hear. You know, man, God is like talking to me, and he's trying to grow me up, and I'm just so hung up on someone else that you just can't even hear. You know what I mean? Buffet. All you can eat. Set in front of us. Everything you need. You got a full scholarship in the school of Christ. And it's all been provided. You got a full load there. But you got to, you know, you got to show up and go to class. You know what I mean? You got to see it in the Lord. Really see it in the Lord. And again, to do that, boy, it's going to take more than just a murmuring. Throwing up a prayer. There's a real, I got to get to the Lord like never before, apparently, because I've been hung up on this for 5 years, and my seeking the Lord hasn't done it. There's nothing wrong with him. So maybe I need to really do some business with God. And so verse 6, and she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Just on that verse, clearly, I mean, we know this. Seeing secondhand, or hearing something secondhand, doesn't compare to seeing for yourself. I mean, it's just... a good example of it is just using the world. You know, if I went and saw, you know, there's these cathedrals and stuff that they built in Europe and other places, and the detail and the craftsmanship really is mind-blowing. Having worked in construction for over a decade, you know, looking at this trend, this crown and the tile and stuff, I mean, the way they built these things, I have no idea. I would guarantee you men spent their entire lives working on that one building. Probably on one detail, because they're in, it's just insane. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I just have no idea how they did it. Well, there'd be a big difference between someone going there and taking it in and just being like, oh my gosh. This is unbelievable. And you can take in all the fine, you know, there's like no gaps, and every cut in stone is made perfect. And how do they cut stones perfectly smoothly and polish them back then. You know, they'd had a way, apparently. Just unbelievable. And then coming back and telling somebody, I saw the most beautiful. Now, there's no pictures, because we're talking about in the spirit. you know, I saw the most beautiful church. I can't even tell you. And you would sit there and be like, wow, man, that's cool. I'd really like to visit there someday and whatever. And then you could tell someone else, hey, over in Italy, there's a really beautiful thing. And, it, you know, if we saw it, something, everyone should really see it. And, you know, no, you're not, you don't know what you're talking about. You really don't. But to go there and to see, and to breathe the air in there, and just to be in there. You know, we have our favorite ministers, maybe, our favorite writers. There's no substitute for the Holy Spirit communing with the Lord from seeing in the Spirit by yourself. Nothing can substitute for that. No book, no favorite book, no sermon, nothing. And then in verse 8, it says, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants who stand continually before thee and who hear thy wisdom. I like that happiness is brought in here. happy are these people who stand before thee continually. You know, earlier we talked about, you know, there may have been some kind of reserve. Some kind of like, I'm afraid of what it'll mean. I'm afraid of what the Lord's answer will be to me over this issue. But as she gets around it, and as she sees his view, she begins to observe this element of happiness. Not a martyr spirit of, I'm just suffering in the Lord. And I think it's a mark of, you know, some of the stories we hear, like Fox's Book of Martyrs, just the tremendous courage, calmness, resolve, even joy that they had under the worst of circumstances. You know what I mean? Clearly they had something incredible in the Lord. Happy. I could go for happy. You know what I mean? I'm cool with happiness, you know? And she sees that, man, this isn't just about loss, and this isn't just about, but there's joy in it. And there's a joy in the Lord. You know, there's the greatness of the Lord. There's the seeing all these things. But as in walking, you know, she's looking at, it's not like she has it yet. She's looking at these, thy servants who stand before thee continually. She's looking at people who, they live in this. This is their reality. This is how they live every day of their life. They see this thing. They're of this kingdom and they're happy. Doesn't mean that they don't have junk in their life. Doesn't mean that they don't have hard circumstances. Doesn't mean that they don't have, you know what I mean, that they aren't around brothers and sisters that have issues that could potentially drive them nuts. But in all of it, they're eating of his table. They're observing the sitting. You know what I mean? They're submitting to God. It's all about Jesus and learning the Lord. And it creates a joy in the Lord and a walk in the Spirit. Oh, man, that, again, it just, it changes the view of things, and it changes how you walk through them, you know? And now I don't mean by that if you're in the Lord, it means you're going to be happy all the time. That's not what I mean. But it certainly doesn't mean you're going to be sad all the time.
That's right.
I think there should be a defining element of joy in the Lord for the body of Christ, considering that Christ Jesus lives in us. Oh, my God. That he does have an answer to all things, that he's fathering our lives. I mean, the gospel is called good news for a reason. And if we don't see it as that, maybe we need to examine it. Now, why is this good news? And so she sees that. She's seeing all these things. She's seeing the ministers. And then she says in verse 9, blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to execute justice and righteousness. In all of this, she's seen it till she communed with the Lord. She's seen it till there's no more spirit left in her. She's observing her servants. And then there's this point where she's just declaring his kingship. You know what I mean? It's one thing to declare Jesus your king, and it's another to go through what this woman has gone through and said, you are God's chosen king. You know what I mean? And he's chosen you to execute justice and righteousness. I mean, she sees the justice. You know, she's not hung up on the injustice. You know what I mean? That caused the hard question. She sees the justice behind the things that look unjust. But you're only going to see that by the cross. How unjust is the cross? But in it is the justice of God. You know, but you have to see it in the Lord to recognize that. And to recognize it in our life, it's the same. And I believe this is her now, this would be us now wanting to come into it. Oh, now I declare you my king. Now you're my head. You know what I mean? Now I want to just open up to your justice. I open up my heart to the way you execute justice. And to come under the government of your kingdom. To be ruled by it. You know what I mean? I'm seeing how happy your servant. I want it for me. I want it for me. And it reacts in her a pouring out of all that she came full of. It says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to the king of Solomon. One thing that stuck out to me here is the spices. Spices. Spices are something that you add to make something taste a little better. You know, she came full of these spices. And mixed in with gold and, what does it say, and precious stones, it mentions the spices more. There's more spices than ever before, this issue of spices. You know, and in it, I just saw, you know, we can just be adding spices to everything in our life just to make things more bearable, just to be able to get through something more, to make something that we don't like a little easier to swallow. But it's a way of the flesh. It's a way of coping apart from Christ. It's just this added measure that we give to it. What that is specifically, I don't know. I mean, that'd be, you know, for the Holy Spirit. But it can be something that we don't think much of. But I just see this, as it's mentioned again, is how big of a deal it is to God. And not only that, I believe that these spices can be something that people will sell their inheritance in the Lord for. They don't want to give up the little things that they add to make life easier, you know. And now these would have to be things that the Holy Spirit convicts of. But nevertheless, she pours out the gold, the silver, the big stuff, and even the spices. You know, and we're only going to do that as we're seeing and knowing the Lord in the way that she is. She is here in this verse. So, you know, I'm not trying to put some real heavy thing on someone, but there's a, you know, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And Paul said, the things that were gained to me, I count dung that I might win Christ. You know, well, at some point in his knowing the Lord, they transitioned from things that had appeal and gain to dung. But it only came as he was knowing Jesus. You know, it wasn't some lawful vow or resign. It was in light of Christ. And it was here in this story. So she pours out all that she came full of herself. She came full of hard questions. And in light of him, the reaction. It's not a law thing. It's a relationship thing. It was a communion thing that happened naturally out from it. There's a pouring out of all preciousness that she held in her that said, I'm trading this for you, what you have. And also it says in verse 11, in the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, that's referring to him bringing gold previously, not right now, in the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees pillars for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, harps also and psalteries for singers. There came no such almug trees, nor were seen unto this day. You know, in this exchange between her and Solomon, and in her pouring out of these things as she releases them, maybe things she held on to as precious, things that she was afraid to release, but in light of him, in light of Christ, let them go. You have these ships coming in with these trees on them, these trees that were cut down, these trees that were used to be pillars in the house of the Lord and precious stones to ordain the house of the Lord. And, you know, I just saw it like these ships were already loaded. The trees were already cut down. The stones were already mined. There was already this inheritance in the Lord ready to come into dock. You know what I mean? But if we remained hung up on the hard questions, that ship's never coming. You know, but as she got the Lord and as she moved in this way, you have this ship coming in. And for all these little spices, maybe that we treasure and these things that are precious to us, and they're poured out before Solomon and before Christ, all of a sudden you have in pillars for the house of the Lord being erected. And you realize this is so much greater than just my little personal exchange with the Lord. This is affecting eternal things. This is a directly affecting supports for the house of the Lord. Tremendous amount was actually at stake here. You know, all we see is the issues that we want an answer to. But God sees the ship full of these trees that need to be built into the house, that the house needs, for support and for structure and the stones to beautify it. He's like, I need this ship to come in. You know, we need these materials. We need them. And he needs us. And he needs our heart in this way for us to bring that in. And then it says in the king, and this will be the last verse here. And the king of Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And so she... We'll just end on this. She came full from her own country. She came full of her own land, if you will. She came full of herself. And in the end, she leaves full of his country, full of his kingdom, full of all the resources of his kingdom. And she brings them back. She brings them back. The best thing we can know for everyone else, do for anyone else, is know Jesus ourselves, to bring of that fullness, to bring of that kingdom back in for others. You know, you can imagine the tremendous effect that had where she lived. Imagine the tremendous effect it would have in our lives. You know, bringing that into the circumstances, bringing that into the relationships, bringing that in to everything, the ministries, everything. Fullness of Christ. Amen. Yes.
Know what it means to just like pack up on a camel and travel who knows how many miles to go get things resolved.
That's right.
And it, like he was saying, I know this is everything he said, but it's like, we spend the 5% praying and the other 95% whatever else it is, and then still don't understand why our questions aren't answered. That's me. I'm in my head about it, getting all upset. And it's me. I'm not the one who's seeing the provision of the Lord. It's like Naaman, who went all the way to see the man of God, only to get hacked off and go, this is not right. I don't want to wash in the water of Jordan. I could just go to Damascus. It's like, if you're going to get up and go the whole way, you know, that's what you have to be willing to do, what the Lord has. And so when I hear the answer is Christ and Him crucified, that answer does not always look the way we want it. And I just, my prayer is that we would really have our eyes open to see what His answer means. Whether it's Jericho, marching round and round and looking stupid and feeling dumb, but still marching round and round, doing no attack whatsoever, but just being faithful to march round and round and let the Lord do it the way He wants to, whether it's washing in the waters of Jordan and not the nice rivers of Damascus, whether it's the Shunammite who had to get on her donkey and go chase down the man of God and say, slacken not the pace. It just, all of these situations in the Bible, they had to move themselves in a huge way to get to the Lord. And we're so spoiled with our society because we don't have to move ourselves in a huge way to do anything. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, like, go kill an animal, roast him all day, you know, and do all this stuff just to have dinner.
Right.
We can throw something in the microwave
right.
in 3 minutes
if we wanted to.
You know what I mean? And I just, it's two different worlds.
That's right.
But if our world for wanting Christ becomes that world of being willing to do whatever it takes, then I just know that there are breakthroughs to happen. Like I said, and all of those things that Sheba experienced, the Queen of Sheba experienced, that she got to see the kingdom and see all of those things and have her things answered. I want to see the kingdom and be in that place and be willing to move myself in a big way to get to the Lord in that manner. And not just hear another great sermon about busting a move for Jesus. Molly wrote an article called Busting a Blind Bartimaeus before. I mean, he shouted, man of God, you know, Jesus. He was like shouting for Jesus. He did not let Jesus get by in the crowd. He was shouting. And I'm tired of being frustrated that I didn't get my breakthrough. Well, did I move myself in a huge way? Or did I just do the 5% that Ben mentioned? I'm sorry, I'm taking forever, but I just... there's just so much more of Christ, and our expectation of what He should be doing needs to be wiped away, and allow ourselves to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the answer that He provides, and not the answer that we're looking for, and to be happy that we're in the room with the lights because the guards will stay out, and just be with a whole other view.
A whole
other view, and I just thank the Lord and Ben for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John. The key is, Jesse touched on it, is that positioning yourself.
Amen.
So many times we say, yeah, or somebody gives us counsel like, yeah, no, you're right, that's what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, but it's like, I started praying recently, God, save me from myself. Because I have a good idea, but you have God's idea. I don't want my ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, the enemy is not out there. Start here. This is the enemy. Enemy against God. And when you start at that place, that's a place of brokenness. The Lord showed me last year, you know, and I was like, God, I'm praying for breakthrough. I'm praying for breakthrough. He's like, first of all, you really want to receive. You need to be broken so you can receive. Broken first so you can receive. The second thing is, how dedicated are you? How hungry are you? How bad do you want it? And I'm telling you, those two teams that you play today, they want it bad. Not just at the beginning of the season, training for it to finish. But they want it so bad, for their whole life, these people on that team train. So that's what the Lord said. You know, there's a scripture that says, no soldier of God in this world gets tangled in earthly affairs. But he disciplines himself. And when Scott shared on that, when we had a reading circle, he said, people just don't discipline themselves anymore. That's a dirty word. Even the church. And it's like, the Lord's promise, not just to inconvenience yourself and sacrifice. We're talking about going down to death. Going down to death. But what does Paul say? I die daily. But I think the beautiful thing about it is, the whole progression of this queen, she came, she saw, and she was conquered by Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way, is that we can be conquered by Christ, to be vanquished by Christ. And as was shared last week, to be a love slave of Christ. When the Lord is doing something in our midst that he really blessed his heart, that he's been so patient with us as a bride, and allowed us for such a long time to continue. But he's like, no more, wife. I don't want this anymore. I don't want this long-distance relationship that I'm overseas fighting the battle, and you're here fighting your battles. Let's come together. You know, when my dad was in the military, when you came back home and were reunited, there was a dynamic there because there was a sweetness of a return. The loss of farewell was sad, but to come back together again. I believe the Lord wants to do this in our lives so we, as a body, can hear it can come together. And on Skype and the rest of the body that gathers together, that is hearing this message of Christ crucified, that it's real. It's alive. It's not just something we read about. It's not just something we hear. It's not just something that we know, but something that it's fresh. Mm-hmm. Every day, mm-hmm. It's fresh. It's vital. It's alive.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, maybe let's just stand and pray together. And, you know, every move towards the Lord just begins with one step. And if you, you know, you feel like, I believe everyone here has been moving towards the Lord, but you know that there's, sometimes there's a, yeah, you know, I'm going after the Lord, but I want to go after the Lord in a new way, more harder, you know. You know, let's just pray we'll take that step now. And you know, I just was thinking of that song, you know, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. That's a good, real first step. Just get in the presence of the Lord. Just get with them. Spend time with them. Lord, we gather to you as a body, as your body, Lord Jesus. And Father, we want to take a step in your direction. Lord Jesus, and even a new step. Lord, and I don't judge anyone here as not going after you or anything like that. But Father, just for more, for something more. In relation to hard questions, Lord, we step towards you. We step towards you, Lord, in a new way. In a heart getting prepared for your answer. Really wanting your answer and not... Lord, just pushing off any familiarity of we already know what that answer is, and it's Jesus or whatever. Lord, we want to hear it from your mouth. We want to have it breathe into our hearts by your Spirit, new and afresh, Lord Jesus, so that we have that freshness, we have that new view in relation to it, that it changes our view, that we see it as a table prepared before us in the presence of our enemies, Lord. We desire this way of life that just sees everything different, that sees everything from your kingdom. Like just like Corey and Betsy Tenboom, that see the lice not as a curse, but as a way to fellowship with you. Lord, you've prepared it all perfectly for us, perfectly in our lives, Lord. And Father, and we just ask you, Lord, to honor our steps. To honor our hearts, Lord, and to meet us, to speak to us, Lord. I believe your heart is shared in that Solomon, he didn't hold back. He answered everything. Everything that she brought, he answered. Lord, that's your heart for us. That's your heart for us. You wish to give us this new life, this new way of life, this new way of being, this new way of moving through our lives and through this earth with you in a living way of communion with you, Jesus. We desire it, Lord. We desire it, Lord Jesus. For all that we already know, Lord, we just want to tune our ears in to your Spirit. We want to tune our ears into the living Word, Lord, to the Word that you're speaking in the moment. Focus on that. Listen for that as we pour our hearts out to you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you our hearts in this way, Father, and commit all that was shared here to you to speak, Lord, to your body, to gather unto yourself, Lord. We know that you died to have a people separated unto you, separated from this world, separated from this way of life, separated from this old creation that can't get over anything, that vengeance and revenge and bitterness and anger, Lord, is the mode of operation, Lord. A new creation, a people that bear your name, Lord, in spirit and in nature, that are free from the entanglements of the old man and the old way, Lord. We desire that freedom, Lord. We desire the happiness that that brings and the joy, Lord. We just pray against any misconception of what it means to follow Jesus. Any added measure of hardship or whatever that has not been what the Holy Spirit has spoken to anyone's heart, we just renounce that in Jesus' name. We know there's hardships, but the rain falls on the good and the bad. Life's hard, period. But Lord, we want to see the table that you've prepared and eat from it in the midst of these things, Father. We love you, Jesus. We're with you, Lord. Gather us in, Lord, as we move towards you. Thank you, Father. If you're not done praying, you can just feel free to come down. Come to the altar and